Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Anniversary month at Watchmen on the Wall continues. 91 years ago, Southwest Radio Ministries was founded. In April 1933, our founder, Dr. E.F. Weber, declared for the first time that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Today is the start of Passover, and Larry Stamm will be walking us through this holiday to show us Christ in this Jewish feast. Tomorrow, Dr. Stephen Collins will begin a brand new series that will reveal the identity of the Pharaoh of the Exodus. And then, Thursday and Friday, will be our Africa Needs Jesus Radiothon, where we will be encouraging you to give a radio and give hope to the people of Africa. From time to time on Watchmen on the Wall, we walk through the Jewish feasts and holidays with Larry Stamm, who is fully Jewish and fully Christian. He's the son and grandson of Holocaust survivors, and he is here today to reveal Christ in the Passover.
Larry Stamm has been a follower of Jesus for many years. He is Jewish and brings fresh insights into the Word of God. Larry has served the Lord for many years ministering to Jews. And I must say, he's a great guy. He's a personal friend. We worked together this past year in Israel doing a lot of filming in the land of the Bible. We enjoyed every moment of our fellowship together. Well, friends, today is Passover, and we're going to be talking about Passover. We have a really special offer for our listeners. It will tie in with our interview on this Passover. Larry, thank you so much for being with us.
Larry, such a pleasure to be with you and your audience today.
Well, Larry, for our listeners who may not know who you are, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and your ministry, Larry Stamm Ministries?
As you mentioned, Larry, I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. Growing up, Jesus and Jewish did not go together. I'm actually the son of a Holocaust survivor. I grew up in a Reformed Jewish household. Reformed Judaism being a liberal expression of Judaism. I was bar mitzvah at 13. I always believed in God since I could ever remember, and I believe that somehow he knew me and I was special in his eyes. But we know as believers in Jesus, there's a God-shaped void that only the Lord Jesus can fill. Tried to fill that void in high school with accomplishment and achievement. I was a state-ranked tennis player in Florida. I was a good student. I thought winning tennis matches and making A's would fill that void. It didn't. In college, I thought the party scene and worldly pleasures would fill that void. It didn't. People started coming into my life, Larry, in college, sharing their faith in Jesus Christ, telling me he's the Messiah, that he died for my sins and rose again from the dead, and that through faith, I could be forgiven. I could enter into a personal relationship with the living God. I didn't want to hear that message. Growing up in the synagogue, we were taught Jesus was the God of the Gentiles, but the Holy Spirit kept coming. People kept coming into my life. The Holy Spirit kept moving. Finally, I started searching. I had a friend of mine named Greg who was a Christian. He witnessed to me, challenged me. He said, Larry, there's absolute truth and you can get in touch with it. He said, do you know where you're going when you die? I was like, wow, those are heavy. It's a heavy question. I began searching, and then my journey to Jesus culminated when I met a gentleman on an airplane in September of 1987, and he said to me, you tell me you're Jewish and you believe in God. I said, yeah. He said, why don't you ask the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if Jesus is the promised Messiah? And I prayed a simple prayer of faith, Larry. I cried out to the God of Israel, and I said, show me. I don't know if Jesus is or isn't the Messiah, but I believe you're real. And 3 months later, in December of 1987, I was born again, and I put my trust in Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, my Messiah. And that's how I came to faith. In my Christian life, I was a tennis coach for a number of years. God brought me out of coaching and into Christian vocational ministry. I was a missionary to my Jewish people for 6.5 years in New York City in the 2000s. I served 4 years on a church staff here in the Tri-Cities, Tennessee area, involved in missions and outreach. The last 10 years, my wife Lori and I have been doing Larry Stamm Ministries. In our ministry, we exist to make the gospel of Jesus a confident topic of conversation for every Christian. If your listeners want to know more about our ministry, They can go to our website at larrystam.org, larrystam.org, or they can also go to our Larry Stamm Ministries Facebook page. We're on Facebook as well. So that's a little bit about my journey to Jesus and what we're doing today for the Lord.
I really appreciate that background. I've heard it many times before, and I've spent a lot of time with you. I remember our trip to Alaska and so on and so forth. And it's really amazing to me how there are Jewish people who are asking questions and reading the Bible and studying the Bible. And guess what happens? Some of them are getting saved. And I think as we come into the end times, we're going to see more and more of that. I think there are more and more Messianic Jews like you. And it's so wonderful because Jesus is not the God of the Christians or the God of Americans. He's the God of the universe. I'm just thinking of Genesis chapter 12 when the Lord said to Abraham, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Of course, you know I'm writing a book on that. I'm just about finished, and I've found so much, and I really, really appreciate hearing you give your testimony. It's really wonderful and very, very moving. Have many Jews come to saving faith in Jesus Christ that you actually know?
Yeah. When I was a missionary, obviously I led a number of Jewish people to the Lord. God used me to bring people to himself. That was a blessing. I can tell your listeners, talking about your book, upcoming book on Abraham and the Abrahamic Covenant, more Jewish people actually, Larry, have gotten saved in the past 50-plus years than at any time in history, save the first century when the early church was Jewish. And your listeners may not realize, Larry, I know you do, but they ought to know that the sons of Ishmael, my Arab brothers and sisters, more Muslims than Arabs have gotten saved in the past 15 years than in the past 15 centuries combined, missiologists are telling us. So while we get flooded with bad news, the good news is that the Lord is building his church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
When Jews and Arabs and Muslims are coming to faith in unprecedented numbers, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh, right?
Amen. Well, I just think of Mossab Hassan Youssef, who was, a son of Hamas. I think of Tassa Ada. I think of the church that I was privileged to found and the Christian school in Pakistan. God is working all over the world. Hallelujah.
Amen to that,
Larry, the Jewish feast of Passover begins Monday, today, April the 22nd. So would you tell our listeners what Passover is and what is its connection to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
Well, to begin with, tonight at sundown, Passover will begin. This is the 14th day of Nisan. Passover commemorates the redemption of my Jewish people from Egyptian bondage. On the first Passover, each Hebrew household, Larry, would sacrifice a perfect, unblemished lamb and sprinkle the blood on the doorposts, on the crosspiece and the side posts of the door. Now, the angel of death would pass over the houses, which were protected by the blood of the lamb. But where there was no blood, the firstborn was slain. And we know as Christians, we are redeemed from an even greater bondage, the bondage of sin, through the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Passover is all about redemption. We think of the original Passover, when God instituted the original Passover in Exodus chapter 12, as a physical redemption. And that physical redemption points to the ultimate spiritual redemption accomplished through the person and work of Jesus. Remember in John 1:29, Yochanan, the cousin of Jesus, would look at the Lord and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So that's a little bit about Passover and the connection as we begin our discussion.
Jesus, of course, as you just pointed out, is sometimes referred to as the Lamb of God. What is the connection? And I'm sure there are more connections, more ties between this designation of our Lord and Passover itself. And you're the guy who could really develop this, and I'm really looking forward to your answer.
Actually, Larry, it may surprise some listeners, but Jesus being referred to as the Lamb of God occurs about 30 times in the New Testament record For example, the Apostle Paul, speaking about Christ in 1 Corinthians 5:7, he wrote, "For even Christ," or Messiah, "our Passover, is sacrificed for us." There's power in the blood, and certainly we know as Christians, there's power in the blood of the Lamb. And just as my ancestors had to apply in faith the blood of the Lamb to the doorposts of their homes to escape physical death, we as human beings have to apply in faith the blood of the Messiah to the doorposts of our hearts to escape spiritual death.
Amen.
There's a lot of connection there. I will mention one more passage before we continue our conversation. Ephesians 1, verse 7, the Apostle Paul wrote that in Christ, or in Messiah, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So Passover is really a powerful picture of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, our Passover lamb.
I know as we read in Exodus 12, it's just such a beautiful story. And of course, for the homes of the Egyptians, the firstborn son, I believe, of course, they didn't have any blood on the doorpost or on the lintel. So there must have been such a cry throughout the land of Egypt. And as I recently read that chapter, I can imagine what a picture that is of the truthfulness of God, because he promised that. And he promises people today, if you're not covered, if you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, there's going to be something horrible that will happen because your sins will drag you down. You can't solve the problem by being good. Nobody's good. We all have evil hearts. You can't solve the problem by giving a lot of money to charity, although that's a good thing, but that doesn't solve the sin problem. Just the blood of Jesus does. That passage in Exodus chapter 12 about when the firstborn of Egypt died, just think of the sons who were the hope of the parents, who would be future warriors, future kings. God means what he says about judgment, and he certainly meant it in Exodus 12 as well as in the rest of the Bible.
Absolutely, Larry. The judgment of God is real, because if God is truly a God of love, he also has to be a God of justice. And we see in the book of Exodus, in Passover specifically, we see that judgment of God. It was not only a judgment of sin, it was also a judgment upon the false gods of Egypt.
Yes.
One of the things that I've pondered, I'd like to talk to you about it and get your take, but it's interesting to note that while we are talking about the judgment of God, we can also in the same breath talk about the grace, mercy, and compassion of God. Because if your listeners remember, if they're familiar with the Exodus story, Moses led the Israelites and a mixed multitude out of Egypt.
Right.
I'm thinking, and I want to get your take on it, I'm thinking that perhaps there were, and that we know the biblical record tells us that many of the Egyptian people knew that the God of Israel was the one true God.
Yes.
And they had fear of him. And I would imagine there were some Hebrews or Jewish people at that time that actually had friends who were Egyptians who said, "Hey, tonight, spend the night at our house." And they, Larry, were covered by the blood of the Lamb. What are your thoughts on that?
Boy, I'm glad you brought that up. I've thought a lot of that because, as you know, I am interested in missions.
Yeah.
What's so beautiful about missions is that people who look different than we do, who speak a different language, yet there is an affinity for godliness. There is an affinity, an attraction, a magnetism toward someone like Jesus and someone like the Lord God of Israel. So I think you're absolutely right. I think as we read the passage in Exodus chapter 12, and of course if we go to Genesis 12:3, "In thee and you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This is really what Israel is about. And so many people say, "Well, you believe in racism. You believe in the Jew is special." Well, God chose the Jewish people so that they would be a conduit, a pipeline of grace to the whole world. And it seems like those who are anti-Semitic, when you tell them that, and I've spoken to several, boy, they really get mad. They just don't understand it. And I think the reason is they don't want to understand it.
Yeah, the importance of Israel can't be overstated. I like to tell people on occasion when I'm teaching or speaking, if no Israel, no Messiah, and if no Messiah, no redemption, and if no redemption, no hope.
Yeah.
God made covenant promises, as you mentioned in Genesis 12 through Abraham. He made covenant promises with the nations of the world through Abraham that they would be blessed and with the promise of the true knowledge of God that would go forth to the world with the message of Jesus, who died for our sins and rose again from the dead. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. But God made covenant promises not only to Israel in the past, Larry. He hasn't fulfilled some of those covenant promises, and that's why we talk about Israel's future and some of these covenant promises that God will ultimately fulfill, because just as the Lord, the Bible says, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus for the individual believer, so for his elect nation, the nation of Israel, God made covenant promises to Israel, some of those unconditional, that he will fulfill, which haven't been fulfilled yet. For example, the new covenant, he made covenant promises to the Jewish people in Jeremiah 31, and he promised them that there will be a future time when he will forgive their sins, and that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Most Jewish people don't believe in Jesus, but Paul writes in Romans 11 that all Israel shall be saved. Newsflash, that also hasn't happened yet. That will happen. So Israel is very front and center. I have a whole chapter in a teaching series called Pilgrimage to Zion, where a whole episode actually entitled Israel, God's Redemption Key, because Israel really is at the heart of God's redemptive plan for mankind. And Passover points to the Redeemer, Jesus, ultimately. And so it's a really important feast on the Hebrew calendar, and it's one that we as Christians should not only understand, but we also have the freedom to celebrate if we want, and we can talk about that a little bit later if we want as well.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the key features of replacement theology, and it's one of the big areas that they're wrong in, they say that all of God's promises to Israel have already been fulfilled. That's not true at all. I used to be a partial preterist, you probably know that. And that's one of the things that opened my eyes. No, no, no. When we read the scripture, there's much more that God has for Israel, for the land of Israel, and for the Jewish people. Well, Larry, we have a very fitting offer for those who are listening to this program, and I really want to speak to our listeners. We are offering the Christ in the Passover DVD. The teaching on this DVD will open your eyes to many biblical truths. Larry Stamm does an amazing job in dealing both with the scriptures and history. We do have the three DVD set titled A Walk Through the Jewish Holidays. Very, very helpful. It contains the Passover DVD, plus one on Hanukkah and one on the Feast of Tabernacles. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. These are materials that will be extremely helpful to you. They're down-to-earth, straight talk on the Jewish holidays that you can understand. We'll pull so many aspects of God's revelation in the Bible and the Old Testament and New Testament. We'll pull it together. We'll help you to see the perfect design, the perfect tapestry of God's plan of redemption. It's well done by our friend Larry Stamm, very helpful. 1-800-652-1144. Now, Larry, you mentioned the biblical Passover God instituted in Exodus chapter 12, but how was Passover celebrated at the time of Jesus Christ?
At the time of Christ, Larry, Jerusalem would have had a permanent resident population, scholars believe, of around 600,000 people. And because this was one of three Jewish feasts where God commanded Jewish men to come to Jerusalem to the temple to worship, the city would have been flooded by hundreds of thousands of other pilgrims who would be coming to Jerusalem for Passover from the known world. We know that Jerusalem at the time of Christ during Passover would have been a beehive of activity. And during that time, people would sing songs, they would tell stories, they would engage in long conversations surrounding religious matters. And you can bet, Larry, that some of those discussions during the Passion Week would have focused on the true identity of an itinerant rabbi from Nazareth named Jesus. On the 14th day of Nisan, which is tonight, the slaughter of Passover lambs would have taken place at the temple. And at the temple, the Levites would kill the lambs at the signal of the silver trumpets sounded by the priests. One other thing I want to mention that would be happening during that time is that there would have been a Levitical choir, and they would be chanting the Hallel. They would be singing the Psalms, specifically the Great Hallel or the Egyptian Hallel, Psalms 113 through 118. And if your listeners want to go to the end of the Gospels, there's one phrase in there, Larry, at the end of the Last Supper, which, by the way, we know was a Passover Seder. It says, before they went out, before Jesus was betrayed and taken, it says that they sang a hymn. And we don't know exactly which hymn it was, but we can be very confident that it perhaps was from the Hallel, and specifically Psalm 118. So there's a little bit about how the Passover would have been celebrated at the time of Christ.
We have many more things to talk about, but I really wanted to ask you about the modern Seder. How is Passover celebrated today? And also, should Christians celebrate the Passover today and enjoy a Seder meal? What about that? I hear questions about that, and I think that's a very important question.
It's an excellent question. The modern Seder, people need to understand that the biblical Passover, which God instituted in Exodus 12, included three primary elements: the Passover lamb, the unleavened bread, the matzah, and the bitter herbs. Today, Jewish people around the world, those who don't yet know Messiah, don't actually partake of the Passover lamb, although the rest of the elements are there, the bitter herbs and the unleavened bread. Because, you see, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, so traditionally, the unbelieving Jewish community does not partake of lamb at Passover. However, as Christians, for a Messianic Jewish person like me, on Passover, for a Seder, lamb is the most appropriate thing to eat. Amen? It was a memorial for that first Passover lamb sacrificed in order to deliver us out of slavery and bondage to Pharaoh. And the fourth cup was and is called the cup of praise. And we'll probably talk about the origin of communion found in the Passover Seder in just a moment. But just to give your listeners a heads up, it was the third cup, the cup of redemption, which Jesus would have raised in Matthew 26 when he raised the cup, instituted communion, and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." So today in the modern Seder, you have a order of service, the Seder, which is told in a book called a Haggadah. A Haggadah is a Hebrew word which means the telling. And in the Haggadah, you have prayers, you have that order of service, you have liturgy, you have artwork, you have songs that are sung. You also have in the modern Seder a Seder plate, a ceremonial plate where we find all of the symbols of Passover. This is where the ceremonial foods go. And then you have also as part of the modern Seder, the four questions, which find their origin originally in the Talmud, the oral law in Judaism. For example, the first question the child will ask is, why is this night different than all other nights? And there are a handful of other items that are mentioned that we can talk about. But that's the basics of the modern Seder. It contains the essentials of the biblical Seder found in Exodus 12. And there have been added on traditions throughout millennia to make the modern Seder different than the original Passover observed by the Israelites in Exodus 12.
Well, you just touched on it, but tell us about the connection between Passover and our communion as believers in the Lord Jesus.
Sure. Remember, Jesus will institute communion at the Last Supper, which was a Seder meal, and he'll institute the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28, where he said, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament or New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So, Larry, he will institute the communion that we as Christians celebrate today, and we remember the Lord's death. And he instituted that communion at the Last Supper. And let me say, you asked the question before I didn't address, but it's good to address, you know, can or should Christians celebrate Passover today and enjoy a Seder meal? First and foremost, when we think about the question, we need to understand that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are not living under the Mosaic Law or the Old Covenant. Rather, we're living under the New Covenant. And so what I like to tell people is the New Testament neither prohibits nor commands us. I don't like to use the word observe because we're living under the New Covenant, but the New Testament doesn't command or prohibit the celebration of the Passover. So people are free in Christ, in Messiah, to celebrate the Passover if they want. So that's what I would say. You certainly can enjoy a Seder meal. And if people want to know how to do that, we actually, at our website at larrystam.org, my wife has put together a lot of good information how a Christian can celebrate a Seder meal at home. We give instructions. We give them resources. And so it is certainly a time. And remember, the New Testament teaches us clearly that whatever you do, do as unto the Lord.
Amen.
If a Seder meal will draw you into a deeper communion with the living God, I say go for it. But remember, we're not commanded to observe the Passover.
Right.
But if the Holy Spirit gives you the liberty and you feel like you want to, go for it. And if it draws you again into a deeper communion with God, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Larry, there's a lot more that we could talk about, but we're out of time for this interview. And as always, you're very informative, very enlightening. Thank you so much, brother, for your work and your ministry, and certainly for your friendship.
Larry, thanks so much. It's just a blessing to know you and a blessing to be able to share with your wonderful audience. Thank you.
Walk through the Jewish feast and holidays with Larry Stamm. In this 3-DVD series, Larry examines the Feast of Tabernacles, the holiday commemorating God's faithfulness to the Jewish people during their wilderness wanderings, Hanukkah, its meaning and importance to the Christian life, and the Feast of Passover, the origin of communion and its symbols and elements. Order all three of these excellent DVDs today when you call 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order on our website, swrc.com. Larry Stamm is also the author of the best-selling book and television series, Jewish Roots of Christianity, which can also be found on our website, swrc.com. Tomorrow, Dr. Stephen Collins will begin a fascinating new series revealing the true identity of the Pharaoh of the Exodus. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app, by visiting oneplace.com, sermonaudio.com, or the brand new pray.com. You can always subscribe to our Watchmen on the Wall podcast wherever podcasts are available. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and has been supported for 91 years by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.